We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each and every heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm sure that on April 15th, it was a Monday of this year, you might remember a collection of dramatic videos and photos quickly spread across social media, showing the roof and the spire of the nearly 900-year-old Notre Dame Cathedral as it began to burn and collapse. Notre Dame is a symbol of hope and beauty that has defined the heart of Paris and France for centuries, inspiring awe and reverence for its art and its architecture and for its enduring place in human history. And since the fire, the Associated Press reports that $1 billion have been donated by the Catholic Church and many corporations, including the Disney Corporation, which donated $5 million to restore it. You can travel anywhere across Europe, and always in your travels will be included cathedrals of beauty and enduring landmarks of past centuries. That's one of the things people love about church. Even if they don't belong, they long to see the hope that a great church offers in times of stress. You see, a church building doesn't move. It blooms where it's planted, and yes, maybe hundreds of years later, it withers and dies, but it stays planted. We build churches to last. Look at the pews. They're nailed, screwed down to the floor. You can't move the pews. Because when life and the world is chaotic, we need a focus of hope. And it further justifies the church to be fixed and final. In many times like now, when there's this unease in our country and we can't seem to get along about anything, and there's unemployment among young adults, and there's an information explosion, and we still need church as an island of stability amid all of the change. And so we look for the church to be there as our stability, our protection. There are friends who still come here to this church during the week who were housed here right after Harvey, who want to tell us how much it meant to them that we opened our doors during Harvey. They needed a place to find comfort and safety. We even used to sing a song, "Church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place." But then it says the church is the people. All the Gospels present to us Jesus in ceaseless motion. Never once in the Gospels does he settle down with me. No. The vagabond Jesus was always, "Come on, guys. Follow me, we got things to do, we got places to go." Early in his ministry, when he had gathered 70, 80, 90 people, he sent them out two by two. He sent them out to share the good news. He sent them out to tell what they had seen and what they had heard. He sent them out to heal and to transform lives. Now, I invited you to share with one another who told you about Jesus. Not a single one of us were born already knowing about Jesus. It is not something innate. There is nothing innate about this faith. Someone, sometime, some place has told you a story you could never have told yourself. Somebody had to hand it to you, and then you received it, because this faith, this Christian faith, is a gift. And every person here received this gift of faith because someone loved you. A grandmother, a grandfather, a parent, a teacher, a friend, someone handed you the gift of faith. And my friends, that's what we are called to do. Amen? If I wish I were in a black church, because I'd be hearing a lot of amens. The Christian faith is about handing the gift of faith to one another. And yet I know that from my experience, and I've had a few years in the church, that when you talk about sharing faith, people get all antsy. And if I were to ask you this morning to covenant with me that before this day was over, you would share your faith story with at least one person, whether you knew them or not, family, stranger, friends, neighbor, I knew if I asked you that, you'd get all excited and your pulse would start beating faster and your blood pressure would go up, because we just get nervous about sharing our faith. The deal is, Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. Just like he knew those disciples. And yet he did not say to them, you just stay right here in your comfortable little sanctuary and your happy little Bible class. No. He said to them, get out there and get busy, and lo, I am with you all the way. Just do it. And consider the days after his resurrection. Not content just to be raised from the dead, we read that he was on the road to Emmaus with two folks. He was down at the beach with a fisherman. He was everywhere, busy, still in motion, returning to that ragtag group called Galilean losers who had failed them. And what does he say to those losers? Oh, guys, I'm sorry the last week's been really hard on you. Why don't you just settle down here in Galilee, buy a little plot of land and build a house and get a good mortgage? No, he did not. He said, get out of here. Make me disciples, baptizing them, teaching them everything I've commanded. And don't even limit yourselves to Judea. Go to everybody, and I'll stick with you to the end of time. And that's a wonderful promise. You know why he said that? Just to make sure you do it. How like this vagabond rover Jesus to disallow us any rest. Refusing those disciples to hunker down right with their own kind, he sent them out forth on a perilous mission. They were in Jesus' name to take back the world. There is no way, my friends, to be with Jesus, to love Jesus, without obeying Jesus and venturing into the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And you say, I can't do that. I'm just ordinary. Well, weren't those fishermen ordinary? Weren't those tax collectors ordinary? Jesus chooses ordinary, untrained people just like you and me. But here's the good news. He never sends us out alone. Listen to what he says, written in the Gospel of John. Those who love me and keep my word, my Father will love them. And we will come and make our home with them. And the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything you need to know and remind you of all I've said. You see, we're not going alone. Yes, it's ideal that you go two by two, two human beings sent out two by two. But if you are in a situation where it's just you, remember, You're not alone. The Holy Spirit is standing right beside you. As Christians, we're always amateurs. We're always beginners. There are no professional ones of us. But Jesus doesn't expect us to do it alone. He doesn't ever expect us to have the right words to say. That's no excuse. He gives us, what was the promise? The Holy Spirit to teach us and reassuringly guide us. I'll tell you what, our Jesus is the great delegator. He's here to enlist each of us on his mission. You know what the most stressful part of being a Christian is? It's working with Jesus. Because he's all mission. The unique gift of Wesleyan Christianity is that at our best, we link Jesus Christ and the love of Christ with obedience to the mission of Christ. Our salvation is linked to our vocation. Yes, like Leah said, we could drive a garbage truck. But as a Christian, our vocation is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We are summoned. We are authorized. We are employed. We are deployed. We are sent. And let me remind you one other thing. Your being a disciple was God's idea long before it was yours. I wish I had an amen. In Birmingham, there's a church called the Church of the Reconciler. And in that church, the congregation is 100% employed by Jesus to serve the poor. Because every morning, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, including Christmas and Thanksgiving, they serve breakfast to the homeless. One day, Bishop Willimon was the Bishop of Alabama, and he decided to go see this amazing place, and he got there at 6:30 in the morning. And sure enough, in the kitchen, the church members were busy, and he saw one of the guys over elbows up to bubbles washing dishes. Because this church, when they serve the homeless, they don't use throwaway paper plates. They use the church china and the silverware to serve them as though they were royal guests. So that means somebody's got to wash the dishes. And when he looked over at this guy washing dishes, he realized he was one of the best known lawyers in Birmingham. And so the bishop went up to him and he said, "I think it's just beautiful that you get up at 6:30 to wash dishes for the homeless." And the man kept on washing dishes and said, And he said, "Have you always enjoyed working for the homeless?" And the man responded, "Who told you I enjoy working for the homeless? Are you crazy?" And the bishop said, "Well, how did you get here?" And he said, "Jesus put me here and I had no choice." Mission. As demanding as it is being sent, it also is a great blessing. Because from time to time, someone is going to complain. Right? Have they ever complained, "Well, you're not the best Bible teacher there is"? Because I've heard, "Well, you're not the best preacher there is." And you know what you can say? You take it up with the Lord. "My being here was not my idea, I promise. Jesus made me do it." This week, we'll be again hosting families who need help until they can survive on their own. They are homeless, and they are coming tonight because Jesus has called some of you to open the doors of this church. And if you had not responded to what Jesus has asked you to do, you know where they'd be sleeping tonight, these babies, these children, these teenagers, these mamas, daddies? They'd be sleeping in cars. But Jesus has called you, and tonight they're going to sleep on clean sheets. They're going to go to sleep with their bellies full of delicious, healthy food. They will feel the powerful welcome and hospitality and love, all in the name of Jesus. And all that happened because Jesus called some of you and you said, yes, yes, I will. Some of you he called to make supper tonight. Some of you are going to make supper Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. Some of you will spend the night and make their welcome and feel safe. A few weeks ago, some folks joined Rocky and some other members of other churches, and they went out and they repaired 14 homes. 14 homes where the families that lived in those homes could barely afford their food, much less repair a roof. But because Jesus called Rocky, he said, yeah, I'll go. And a few others of you joined him following Jesus to do tough stuff in the heat, because I went out there that day. It was 90 degrees. And because you love Jesus, you were on the roof, repairing the roof so it wouldn't leak on those folks the next time a storm came through. And 2 weeks ago, our youth heard the call of Jesus. And they all got in a van and they drove clear to Freeport. And for 4 days and 4 evenings, they were there repairing homes for folks who could not repair their own homes. That's how it's done when you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, get up and go. And you say, yes, Captain, I'm on it. How is all this done? Lovingly, tirelessly, joyfully, in the name of Jesus? How do our two wonderful missionaries in India, how do you do it joyfully? Because Jesus promised the advocate is with each of us. He commands us to love one another, and he doesn't expect us to do it alone. Will Willimon tells the story of a friend who in late life decided he wanted to fly a plane. He was very nervous at first. He went to all the instructions. He flew with his instructor, and it dawned on him that one day that instructor would not be there and he would have to fly the plane alone. But when that day came and he went up in the plane alone, he said, I was surprised how self-confidence that day. But he said it was not my own confidence that gave me the strength to do it. It was the confidence of my instructor, because my instructor had taught me so consistently, so repeatedly, so reassuringly, I just knew what I had to do. And he said, as I was flying, I could almost hear his voice. It was just as though he were right there in the cockpit with me. My friends, that's exactly how Jesus is. We have been journeying together trying to remember who we are. We are named, we are claimed, we are chosen, we are marked at our baptism as a child of God. And as we grow in our love and deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ, we begin to hear his voice more clearly. And each of us is given eyes to see the needs of the world. We're given ears to hear the cries. And the love of Christ then is tightly linked to obedience to the mission of Christ. My friends, there is so much to do, and there is a job, believe me, for each of us. All we have to do, listen up. The great delegator has a plan for you this week, and if you don't hear it, it's because you ain't listening. Because he is on the move, and he's calling you. Listen up. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Gracious Jesus, how we love you. We love you with all our hearts. And sometimes when we don't love you with all our strength and energy, push us in the backside. Because there's someone out there that doesn't know about you, and you're counting on us to be the ones to tell them. You're expecting us to share our stories, and you promise us we're not on our own. You're walking with us every step of the way. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do. Nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.